The reading is taken from Acts chapter 10, reading verses 9 to 36, and then 44 and 45. So Acts chapter 10, starting at verse 9. The next day, as they were on their way and coming near Joppa, Peter went up on the roof of the house about noon in order to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. While the food was being prepared, he had a vision. He saw heaven opened and something coming down that looked like a large sheet being lowered by its four corners to the earth. In it were all kinds of animals, reptiles and wild birds. A voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Certainly not, Lord. I have never eaten anything ritually unclean or defiled." The voice spoke to him again, "Do not consider anything unclean that God has declared clean." This happened three times, and then the thing was taken back up into heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of this vision, the men sent by Cornelius had learnt where Simon's house was, and they were now standing in front of the gate. They called out and asked, "Is there a guest here by the name of Simon Peter?" Peter was still trying to understand what the vision meant when the Spirit said, "Listen, three men are here looking for you. So get ready and go down, and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." So Peter went down and said to the men, "I am the man you are looking for. Why have you come?" "Captain Cornelius sent us," they answered. "He is a good man who worships God and is highly respected by all the Jewish people. An angel of God told him to invite you to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Peter invited the men in and persuaded them to spend the night there. The next day he got ready and went with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along with him. The following day he arrived in Caesarea, where Cornelius was waiting for him, together with relatives and close friends that he had invited. As Peter was about to go in, Cornelius met him, fell at his feet and bowed down before him. But Peter made him rise. "Stand up," he said. "I myself am only a man." Peter kept on talking to Cornelius as he went into the house, where he found many people gathered. He said to them, "You yourselves know very well that a Jew is not allowed by his religion to visit or associate with Gentiles. But God has shown me that I must not consider any person ritually unclean or defiled. And so when you sent for me, I came without any objection. I ask you then, why did you send for me?" Cornelius said, "It was about this time 3 days ago that I was praying in my house at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly a man dressed in shining clothes stood in front of me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and has taken notice of your works of charity. Send someone to Joppa for a man whose full name is Simon Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the leatherworker who lives by the sea. And so I sent for you to come at once, and you've been good enough to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God, waiting to hear anything that the Lord has instructed you to say.'" Peter began to speak. "I now realize that it is true that God treats everyone on the same basis. Whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him, no matter what race he belongs to. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came down on all those who were listening to his message. The Jewish believers who had come from Joppa with Peter were amazed that God had poured out his gift of the Holy Spirit on the Gentiles also. This is the word of the Lord.
This is madness, complete and utter madness. I did think about going through the whole of the sermon without saying the letter M, but I thought that might get a little tricky. For those of you who do not know, that is a clip from a TV show called The Big Bang Theory, which is one of the most popular sitcoms on the telly at the moment. And one of the central themes from this programme is based around a group of friends who regularly meet in Leonard and Sheldon's living room, which was the guys we just saw on the screen there. And they chat and they have fun and they mock each other and they ridicule each other and they grow together as a group of friends. However, on this one occasion, Leonard has a better idea. Leonard decides to go and see his love interest, Priya, who is at his friend Raj's house, which means that nobody's going to come to Sheldon and Leonard's house anymore and will effectively leave Sheldon on his own. Now, some of you might be wondering what the relevance of that clip was, other than being quite witty. But I would like to suggest this evening that that video clip and the passage that we heard from Acts are actually not that dissimilar. In the clip that we just saw, we see the ever so slightly set in his ways Sheldon Cooper question a change in their well-oiled, tried and tested social and culinary routine. For Sheldon, it's Thursday. And Thursday means it's one thing. It's pizza night at his flat, and everyone is going to come and be with him in his place. It's tradition. It couldn't possibly change. And even if it did change, how could he possibly go anywhere else? Because he might get haggis and blood pudding and something that, quite frankly, he doesn't want to eat. In Acts, we then hear about a man who is called Cornelius. And Cornelius had a vision of an angel of God telling him to go and find Peter. And listen to what he had to share. We also hear that about Peter's own vision, where this large white sheet is lowered down with a range of different animals on it. Within the sheet, there are those animals that were considered clean and good enough for a Jew like Peter to eat. And there were those animals that Peter as a Jew would never dream of eating. These animals were called unclean animals, and the reason for that was that they made Jews spiritually or ceremonially unclean. Now, the significance of this was that as a Jew, if you'd eaten something that was unclean, you were unable to go to the temple. And if you were unable to go to the temple, you were unable to worship, and you were unable to meet with your God. And not only were you religiously ostracized, you were also socially ostracized for being unclean and of loose character. But there is a greater significance to this vision of Peter's than just being about a Jewish custom or just being about what he's having for dinner that night. The vision is a bit like one of Jesus's parables. There is a hidden meaning. There's something lying underneath the surface that Peter's got to try and work out what it's about. Peter's natural rejection of the unclean animals on that sheet would have stirred up with him similar images of how Peter would have viewed Gentiles like Cornelius. Peter's view was that Jews were God's people. Gentiles like Cornelius just needed to accept the fact that they had not been chosen to be part of this elect group. And as a result, they just needed to recognize that they weren't as good as the Jewish community. And not only that, the food laws that the Jews followed provided a huge barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles. Not only did they have different perceptions about what you could eat and what you couldn't eat, but you would never find a Jew dining in a Gentile's house. It was very rare to see a Jew even attend a Gentile's house, for fear, like Sheldon in the clip, that they might be given something that they would otherwise not want to eat. They'd get the equivalent of a haggis pudding, and what would they be able to do? Not only that, but also like Sheldon, in the case of Sheldon, it's just tradition. It's pizza night. Well, for the Jews, it's just tradition. We just don't associate with Gentiles. We are above them. If we go into that, we're going to get all ceremonially unclean. We're going to be cut off from God. Surely this can't change. This is why in verse 28, we hear Peter say to Cornelius, "You yourself know very well that a Jew is not allowed by his religion to visit or associate with Gentiles. But God has shown me that I must not consider any person ritually unclean or defiled." This was a provocative image for Peter to see, and it would have left him asking a whole range of questions. This evening, we're starting a new series in our evening services, looking at how, as Christians, we can make a difference in our surroundings, how we can connect with people outside of our church, how we can connect with the culture which we inhabit. How can we be people who go out and connect with people out there? This evening, as we look at this passage, I want to suggest that if we are going to be people who connect with our culture, then we need to understand that God welcomes all people who love him, regardless of their background, regardless of their race, regardless of their age, regardless of their gender, and even regardless of their orientation. The first way that we can see that God welcomes all who love him through this passage is through God's desire that following him is not just about tradition. Food was a big deal for Peter. It was part of what defined him as a Jew, and yet with a sheet of clean and unclean animals in front of him, in verse 13, he hears the words, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." It is then clear to see what Peter thought of this suggestion as he responds, "Certainly not, Lord." And then comes the key line, "I have never eaten anything ritually unclean or defiled. I never have. I never will. It's tradition." God doesn't necessarily dislike our traditions, and he doesn't necessarily dislike our following of laws so that we might follow him with all our hearts and minds. However, God does dislike those laws and traditions when they get in the way, when they get in the way of his people coming and being welcomed to him, the God that loves them. When our traditions, when our law stop people being accepted as one of God's people, it is then that God challenges us to see people as he sees them. Or as we hear in verse 15, "Do not consider anything unclean that God has made clean." Do not consider anything unclean that God has made clean. These words are a huge challenge to the church and to each one of us as individuals. What do we consider to be unclean that God has made clean? Do we think of those struggling with various issues in their lives or addictions in their lives or things that they're trying to work through in their lives? And do we see them as being clean or unclean in God's eyes? Do we view those who are socially different to us, who we just don't quite understand, we don't grasp, we don't click with them? There's something we just can't quite work out about them. How do we see them? Do we see them as clean or as unclean in God's eyes? Or maybe people in certain professions or certain lifestyle choices. Surely they can't be clean in God's eyes. I mean, I don't agree with what they do. Are they unclean in God's eyes? Or is that our tradition speaking? Are there aspects of our lives, individually or together as a church, where God is saying to us this evening, "Do not consider anything unclean that God, that I, have made clean for you"? If God being a God who welcomes all about who love him is not about tradition, then the next question for us to think about is, well, what is it all about? In verses 34 to 36 of Acts 10, we can get a sense of what Peter thought was the fundamental core to find out what it is to be welcomed by God. In verse 35, we're told that those who worship him and do what is right are acceptable to him. And then in the following verses, Peter expands what this might look like. But what does it mean? Hang on, I've lost my place. What does it mean to worship God and to do what is right? Verse 36 goes on to tell us that Cornelius and the Gentiles with him were people who understood the Christian message. They'd heard the Old Testament prophecies. They'd heard about the peace that was available through Jesus Christ. This crowd that Peter was addressing was spiritually aware. But more than just being spiritually aware, the crowd were actively seeking God. Cornelius was actively seeking God. These Gentiles, who were seen by the Jews as not being good enough for God, were still seeking to learn more about God. They were still wanting to find out what it was that made this God so good. What is it that's lasted this God for 2,000 years? So if God is to be a God who welcomes all who love him, then those people who love him need to know something of the story of God and Jesus' life on earth. We're now in a time of cultural change and difference. As a country, if you used to walk down the street sort of 10, 20 years ago and ask someone, who came to see Jesus at the stable? Or name one of Jesus' miracles? Or tell me about the God of Isaac, Abraham and Joseph? You'd 9 times out of 10 be able to get an answer because people knew the story. They understood it. However, today, the number of people who are exposed to and yet alone learn about the Christian story and the Christian faith is far fewer than it used to be. A couple of weeks ago, I was watching a video at college in which someone went down a street asking people to complete this well-known phrase, Jesus loves me, this I know. Now, in that moment, I was transported back 20 years to when I was at Sunday school, and the answer came straight back to my mind, as I'm sure it does to many of you this evening. I automatically knew the answer was, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But in a country where fewer and fewer people are engaging with church, in a country where fewer and fewer people are being exposed to the Christian story, it was amazing to hear people walking down the street trying to answer this question. Some of the people just looked at the person who was asking them a question or down the camera in sheer confusion, as if they'd just been punched in the face or something for no apparent reason. There were some people who thought, oh yeah, that sounds familiar, but I just can't place it. I remember it from ages ago, but can't quite remember the full story. And then there was one guy who I found quite amusing, who heard the lyric, Jesus loves me, this I know, and he turned and said, do I? In our country today, if we are going to be connecting and engaging with our culture, we can't assume that everybody knows and understands the background of the Christian faith. We need to help people to understand this more. We need to help people to go away and to find out more about this God that has been working throughout the world for thousands of years. Just like Cornelius was keen to go and find out more, he sent men to go and get Peter to come and find out more. We need to be helping people to know more of God. If God is to welcome people, if they are to love him, then they will need to know who he is. Cornelius was a man who was on a journey with God. He heard about the God of the Jews. He heard about the life and the ministry of Jesus, and something intrigued him about it, and he wanted to know more. When we describe Cornelius like that, it strikes me that although Cornelius was a Gentile 2,000 years ago, actually there are plenty of Corneliuses here in Chelmsford today. There is a natural human desire within all people to know God. The Alpha Course have over the past couple of decades really engaged with this natural desire that people have to know more of God, by asking questions such as, surely there is more to life than this? Or what is the meaning of life after all? I don't think I've got it all sorted out yet. Tell me more. Or why do we exist? What is the purpose of going through 70-odd years of life? What is it? What are we here for? What are we missing? We exist to know God. And when people do not know God, there is often an emptiness and an uncertainty that leads people to look into this more. The challenge for us as a church and for individuals is whether we are able to identify those who may have made not made necessarily a full commitment as we would necessarily understand as a church normally to be Christians. But rather those people who are seeking for something. They have bits of information, but they haven't quite pieced it all together yet. They're still trying to get the whole picture in their head. Are we as a church ready and willing to look out for those people? And then, like Peter does in verse 34, help them to connect the dots. Help them to step back and to see the whole picture. One of the big successes in our church over the past 10 years or so has been the Alpha Course. Because it's done just that. People have come along to the Alpha Course looking for something, wanting to know more. And Alpha has helped them to see the full picture. It's helped them to see what God has done for them through Jesus and to explain their questions. But Alpha has been brilliant, but so many people have come through Alpha through just finding out about the course on the website, which is great. But wouldn't it be brilliant if we as a church were bringing people along to find out more ourselves, people we had contact with through the various different ministries that we have in the church, or from the flats as they're built around us. Wouldn't it be great that we built up relations to the extent that we knew those people who were seeking? We knew those people who wanted to know more, and we were able to say, well, why don't you come along to Alpha with me for dinner? And we'll talk a little bit more about this and try and explain some of your questions to you. Or maybe it's not even within the church. Maybe there's a neighbour or a family member or someone at work or someone else in your life who is seeking, who doesn't know God. Wouldn't it be great if we were able to bring them along to church, as well as the people who are just coming along out of their own interest, and nurturing them along to know more of God and to reveal more of them as well? God wants his church to be a church that engages with the culture that is around us. God has a heart for the people who will be coming to live in the flats around the church. He has a heart for our neighbours. He has a heart for our family members. He has a heart for our work colleagues. He has a heart for those people who we think, quite frankly, they couldn't be further away from God. God has a heart for them. He loves and cares for them. And everyone is seeking for God. It may not necessarily look like it. They may not even appear interested on the surface. But if we take the time to get to know them, to draw alongside them, to scratch beneath the surface, they may not even be aware of it, but they will be looking and longing for God. Where people are seeking God and looking for more of him, are we willing to be people who step up to be like Peter was to Cornelius? Would we be willing to make that journey to somewhere that we might not have even dreamed of? Would we go to the equivalent of a Jew going to a Gentile's house? Would we be willing to engage with someone that we just frankly wouldn't normally engage with, like a Jew would with a Gentile? Or, and most importantly, would we be willing to help them know and understand more of the God that loves all who follow him and love him? Let's take a moment to think about what God might be saying to us, and then we will move on with the rest of the service. Father God, we confess that at times we can see things as unclean that you have made clean. We can see traditions getting in the way of people that you love, that you have a heart for, who are seeking after you. Lord God, we pray that you would help us to be people who see those people that are searching after you and help them to find you. We pray that you would give us the wisdom to be able to speak to their lives. We pray that you would give us the right words, the right questions to ask. We pray that you would help us to know the people that you want us to speak to about you and about what they are missing in you. Lord God, we pray that you would help us to be people who connect with our culture, who share our faith with all those around us, and we long to see you at work in so many people's lives, throughout our lives and throughout the lives of our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're now